Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner. Rick, we've got the bike race back in Adelaide. Santos Festival of Cycling.
I'm all over it.
I reckon Mickey Mouse is going to ride it.
No.
Donald Duck.
I have pulled my racing bike out of the shed.
Yeah, dusted it off, and away you go.
Re-greasing, and we're out. I'm out training. Every day of the week.
Why did they even worry?
I must confess I'm knackered by the end of the street. What?
Why would they even bother? I mean,
you can imagine millions of people flocking.
No, you can't have, you can only have a crowd at either end, and you've got to have a ticket or something to.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I think I think it's pretty.
Oh, well, I'm not going to go in it if no one's going
to
come.
I was going out for a picnic to watch them go, you know, and go past and. That's the end of the day,
That probably will take over from the tour down under.
It's going to be the biggest sporting event South Australia's had for.
I wonder who the genius was who came up with that idea.
Turda, wasn't it?
Oh, was he
still in it?
See, no, I don't think he is. I think O'Grady's running it, isn't he?
Oh, it could be O'Grady.
I know, it's his first year, so he had to.
They brought back Lance. He hasn't got cancer.
Now, the thing is that I think it all fits into place. Stuart, I think, has taken over from Turner.
I think you're right. It's his first year, so
he's to be seen to be doing something. Yeah. He's come up with this incredible concept.
Fantastic.
Oh, right? He is.
No overseas riders.
No, but we'll have television, helicopters, everything, I reckon.
Right, we've given that enough airtime. A bit of cricket around.
Cricket everywhere.
I'm just going to quickly go local cricket. There was a first ever day-nighter T20 Tanunda Oval.
Under lights. Now,
Friday night.
The feedback that I have received is, first of all, which is great, the lighting evidently is 110%.
Yeah.
They reckon it's worthy of first class cricket, the lighting. Now, that's a step in the right direction because I don't know whether it's going to happen, but the rumours are that they're going to, you know, make the oval bigger and whatever. And with a aim to doing things like first class T20s or women's or whatever. So that was and particularly since it was the first cab off the rank, it's great that it was a success.
500 odd people, they said.
Yeah. Yeah,
you needed a ticket. You didn't have to pay, apparently. It was just a ticket in
COVID.
Yeah, to monitor how many they've got in there. Yeah. Of course, great man Chris Gurz would have been there watching his son.
Well, I tell you what, it would have been worth the trip
And Trent done well.
Well.
Trent, 36 off 28.
Trent Gurz, yes.
Captain?
Yes, absolutely. Great start. I mean, they won the toss and batted.
Yep. 4 for 154, Tanunda.
I tell you what, that's a good score off
Pretty
of 20 overs.
Pretty good score, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And he opened with Sammy.
He had a bit of a start. 13 off of 21, yep, Sam. Yeah. But he was probably mind on footy at the moment. Started pre-season too, Tanunda.
Yes, yes. But then, number three, Oscar.
Oh, Oscar Harms, son of the great Chris Harms, we're talking.
And 77, I hear.
77 N-O. Off of 50.
Yeah, that's a great performance. I actually heard while I was umpiring on Saturday that the highlight of the entire game was a reverse sweep shot of Oscar's.
Really?
Which went out the paddock, evidently. That's
probably one of Chris's balls.
It could have been.
Hey?
It could have been.
Well, he's making those balls, so it could have been one of his dad's balls.
That's right. He's probably trying
that
to sell
sounds rude, yeah, doesn't it?
But anyway, obviously, great. 154. No one's going to get that. And obviously, Angaston didn't.
No, Angaston. Eight for 124.
Yep.
Rathjen made 38 off of 38. But then Oscar came out with the ball, and to his credit, 2 for 22 off his four.
Off his four, a great performance. That's man of the match.
Oh, absolutely. No worries. Yeah. He would have been man of the match. And I don't know whether they had a man of the match, but that's fantastic.
Well, it was evidently a raging success, and as I said, the people that I spoke to at the game that I umpired on Saturday all said it was great atmosphere, great night, great lighting. That augurs well for the future. So
I just hope they play some footy this Yeah, down there at Tanunda. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. A double header on a Friday night, a bit.
Well, all I can say is that now that I've heard the lighting's great, that would be the place, because I went to a twilight under lights, inverted commas, at the Gawler dog track between Gawler Central and I can't remember who the other team was.
I reckon it was.
I tell you what, you couldn't see beyond the dog track, let alone onto the field. Their lighting is not up to scratch for that.
No good at all with it. You were saying about widening. They've even removed some of the trees already, ready to go. If you look, the light poles are back, set back a bit so the oval can come around. Yeah, so
that's good.
They will eventually, that's all in the plan, apparently.
Well, the great thing is that, I mean, I'm really, to be honest, I'm really impressed with the Barossa and Light and Gawler sporting scene at the present time, because things are going ahead in leaps and bounds. Mm. I mean, okay, you've got Tanunda being upgraded. Lindock is being completely upgraded.
Oh, okay.
They're not levelling the oval entirely. There's still going to be a slope, but it's not going to be the slope that it's been.
Yep.
I've got a turf wicket, etc.
Okay.
And so things are on the move.
Because you had Dunpour out at Kersbrook, wasn't it?
I had to, because it's Lindock's home ground while this is all being done. So
where are we?
And I actually must confess, I hadn't been to Kersbrook. Lovely oval.
Well, you've never been to Kersbrook?
Well, I don't think so.
It's all of about 20 odd k's away.
Well, what would I have a good reason to go there for? Right?
It's a beautiful part of the world.
Well, so I'd have discovered. That, I tell you what, that oval is very impressive.
Mm.
Beautiful grass covering.
Yep.
And a large oval too.
Yeah,
and
been there for a Hills Footy Grand Final a couple of years back. Yep.
And it's a massive sort of change room come clubhouse.
Yes, it is massive.
It is huge.
And have they got trees planted around there?
No, it had no trees back then either. But I tell you what, it was probably the worst day's cricket. I got blown over by a hurricane. I actually had to take steps forward to stop being blown over.
I wasn't going to bring this up.
No, don't.
No, I wasn't going to bring this up, Rick.
What was it?
But my bowls were just about blown out my hand Saturday.
Well, listen, team, let's change the subject. And how is the Paynham Bowling Club travelling?
We're not travelling that well, Rick. I've got to be honest.
Is it true that you've changed your colours to red, yellow and blue like the Crows? Because I've heard a rumour that's where you are, the same place as the Crows, on the bottom of the table.
Yeah, but they don't get relegated. If we don't get off of there, we're going down.
Well, I'd plan on that because...
No, half a season to go, Rick. We're all positive down there.
Are you going to win a game soon?
We've won one.
Oh, one.
One, yep. So we'll be back after a couple of games before Christmas. We need another one before Christmas. A win, that is. we've lost a few. So,
is there any explanation for this, Philip?
Lost players from last year, Rick. Four of the best.
Is that right?
Yeah. So we are struggling as we speak. But
well, I guess
let's not get onto that too much, Rick. But it was a shocking day.
I guess if you're on the bottom of the table, you are struggling, aren't you?
Well, the only way is up.
Well, that's true. That's true.
So let's hope we're heading there. Let's get back onto the cricket, Rick.
Yes.
We've plenty of cricket around Australia at the moment.
Well, what I thought we might spend a couple of minutes discussing is a possible Australian test team for the day-night test match, which is only a week or so away in Adelaide. And, Phil, I'm actually quite concerned. The first thing I'm concerned about is that Shane Warne, who must say controversial things to keep himself at the top of the pile as far as publicity goes, claims that India, quote, no Kohli, no India. Well, firstly, that's simply not going to be the case. And he did say that after India won the first two out of three ODIs. India came back and won the third one. Now, before we get off of that, all I'd like to say is that, someone wins an ODI, someone loses, but he conveniently forgot that even though they lost two and they were chasing, right? Australia batted first in those two games.
Did.
In all three games, India made over 300
they
runs.
Did.
Now, that's a good performance, because I don't think India or you or I could give a toss about the result of ODIs, but there's a few blokes if you're making 300, yep, who had a bit of time at the crease. And again, in the T20s, they've won the two that have been played as we record this. And again, people have made some runs. So, first of all, I think India are in good shape, bearing in mind that they didn't have a lot of practice sessions after they came out of their 14-day lockdown.
Yep.
And to be honest, I am very concerned about Australia's whatever team they put in the field. How will they line up,
Rick?
Well, the one
throw
thing...
Throw some names at me.
Well, I will. And the only thing I'd like to preface it by saying is the comments I'm going to make are in relation to it being a day-night test match.
Okay.
And it is supposedly a five-day day-night test match. Now, in the history of day-night test matches in Adelaide, most of them are lucky to go 3 days, let alone the whole five, which indicates to me, with a reasonable degree of statistical evidence, that they are bowler-friendly games.
Yep.
Because of the ball, because the pitch must have been made to try and not wear and tear the ball as much. Even the outfield's kept a bit. So it's harder to bat in a day-night game, let alone whether you can see the ball once the lights come on.
Pink.
Well, it is, but evidently the story I've heard, and I've never played in a day-night game in my life, but they reckon it's not that easy to see the ball, particularly if it's coming at you at about 150 clicks. Anyway, bearing that in mind.
Yes.
And I'm going to make the assumption that Warner is injured and isn't available. Yep.
I don't think you'll play the first
one. Now, there in itself lies a huge problem. And bearing in mind that Justin Langer is quite renowned for coming out and supporting players in form or out of form. Now, he has claimed at least two things. One is Joe Burns will get a run, despite the fact that I don't think he's got to 20 in any of his digs. He may have got past 20 once. And that Travis Head will play as well.
Who? Really?
Now, there's no need to be like that, Phil.
Really?
Right. Now,
wow.
The next thing is this. Bearing in mind that it's bowler-friendly test match, do you throw the two great gun young players, Will Pekoski and possibly Cameron Green, to the Wolves against the best test team in the world in a bowler-friendly game? Now, I would not like to be on the selection panel because I believe both of those kids are going to be great players and they don't need to get off to a bad start in their test careers. I mean, sure, it could happen in an ordinary, conventional five-day test match, but it's more likely to be probably difficult for them in a day-nighter.
Yeah.
Now, but bearing in mind, if Joe Burns gets a gig as opener, then I would suggest that the other opening position is probably either going to be Pekoski or Marcus Harris, who actually isn't named in the 17-man squad. Then you could argue, so there, you know, one of those two probably. If gamble on Pekoski, do you or don't you? I don't know. Then, okay, Labuschagne and Smith, 3 and 4, they pick themselves. Now, they reckon that Travis Head is going to, the coach says that Travis will get that gig. Now, the reality is, and I mean, okay, they're going to support him, but forgetting that he's made two centuries in second innings of Shield games, in first innings this season, Head has made 31, 2, 9, 37 and 18. In five digs, that's 97 runs at an average of 19.4. Now, that's not big scores. And it's first innings that really count. Then on top, okay, so you say he bats at five. Matthew Wade, who has probably not made many more runs than you have, Phil, you know, now does he play at number six? Or do you gamble on Cameron Green, who logic would say he's just made 100 against India A, not out. He's taken wickets against India A. under normal circumstances, you'd say he'd get a Guernsey, but do you save him for an all-day, an all-normal test match or not? I don't know. Tim Payne bats at seven, then you've got the bowlers, you know, and who knows who they're going to be.
There's
with
a few
injuries.
Of them injured, isn't there?
Well, Hazelwood's question mark, Stark question mark, Nathan Lyon obviously will play. But so you read, you know, say you go with Pekoski, Burns, Labuschagne, Smith, Head, Wade. That is not the strongest batting lineup I've ever heard of.
Well, I didn't even know Wade was still playing Test match. I knew he was playing one day. As I thought he was finished.
No. He's
well. He shouldn't be in.
So it's a very interesting dilemma that they've got, and time will tell. But as we record this is the third and final day of the Australia A game. They've got another T20 to play. And then basically they're going to have to work out what the Aussie side's going to be. Right. You know, it amazes me that we're so early in the season and Australia seems to have so many injuries and question marks.
You reckon it could be the virus, you know, not training properly or whatever?
Well, I mean, they've been training and they've played four Sheffield Shield games. And, I mean, under normal circumstances, you'd say you make two double centuries like Will has, you've got to be playing in the Test match. Yeah. And, I mean, to be fair, they both failed in the first innings in this Australia-A-India game, meaning Pekoski and Burns. Burns was a bit unlucky in trying to get out of the way of a short one and just didn't pull the bat away and got an edge.
Yep.
Pekoski's actually, off of 21, made one and then absolutely smashed one.
Yeah, I saw it. And it's a beautiful catch.
It was.
Too.
So you could argue they're both a bit unlucky, but the reality is that they didn't make runs.
No.
So who knows?
I think you've got to play them, though, Rick. I think you have to. We haven't got many options, I don't think, have we?
Well, we haven't. Other than them. I mean, as I said, the great risk, I suppose, is, you know, do you risk the kids? For few, I mean, I know
I think
one innings isn't the beginning and be all end of it, you know, but I reckon, I don't know what I'd do, to be honest. We're nearly running out of time.
We are. Have you got a joke, Rick?
Can you picture this? There I was standing on the beach.
Yes.
And this frisbee was getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And then it hit me.
Oh, no. I said the joke. No, very good, Rick. We'll go with that one today.
That actually even passed the producer as well.
Oh, did it?
Yep. She thought it was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
Wowee.
And then left the building.
Haven't seen it since.
No. Well, team, I reckon that's about all we've got. Until next time, this is Rick.
This is Phil.